Our first reading comes from the Old Testament, the prophet Zephaniah, and chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. Listen to the word of the Lord. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord, your God, is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you with his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of a festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home. At that time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Our next lesson comes from the book of Philippians, written by the Apostle Paul. Chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then our gospel lesson comes from Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 18, speaking of John the Baptist. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowd asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So, with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our theme today is proclamation. Proclaiming the good news. And we listen to John the Baptist as he proclaims the coming of the Messiah. The coming of the one that the people have been waiting for. Now, John, when I think of John the Baptist, I think of a fire and brimstone preacher. He's yelling and screaming, and he's trying to get people to fear the God. He's trying to put into the people the fear of God. You know, you better repent. You better change. And when I think of him, if I think of him in today's world, I kind of see him as one of those that stands on the street corners yelling out to everybody. And maybe he's even wearing a billboard, you know. Uh-oh. Falling apart. Brood of vipers. Brood of vipers. Repent. Turn to burn. If that one didn't work, boy, my other one really doesn't. He would have taken more time in making these than I did. Just goes down. Says the same thing. The world will end on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, maybe. Soon? Obviously, I'm not that style of preacher. I don't particularly care for it. I don't think most of you do either. Otherwise, I think you'd be in a different church. But it worked for him. Sometimes it works, different ways works with different people. Tony Campolo tells the story of he being with a group of intellectuals one time, and they were talking about evangelical Christianity, and for the most part, the people around the table were putting evangelical Christians down, thinking they're some kind of crackpots and all of this. And Tony finally entered into the conversation, and he said, the problem is you think of all evangelical Christians like those fanatics that go to football games and hold up the signs that have the Bible verse on it. And those people think that somehow by holding up a sign with a Bible verse on it, people are going to be convicted of their sin and come to Jesus. Well, it just doesn't work that way. And the guy that was sitting at the table said, well, funny you should mention that. 3 years ago, I was watching the Super Bowl, and right before halftime, after one of the teams had scored, they were kicking the extra point, and there was one of those guys holding up a sign saying, John 1:12. And at halftime, I didn't have anything better to do, so I went to my shelf, and I pulled off my Bible that had pulled off in forever. And I looked up what the verse said. It said, but as many as receive him who believe in his name, they have the power to become children of God. And as I looked, there were notes written in the margins that I had written when I was a teenager and had gone to a summer camp. And suddenly I remembered the faith that I had rejected and renounced in my older age, forsaken it. And I got down on my knees and I invited God to be a part of my life again. God can use crazy people at football stadiums holding up verses. Since this isn't my style of preaching, yelling, and screaming, and fire and brimstone, I can't, though, reject the message that John gave. Because it was having an effect. We're told many people were coming to him to be baptized. So what was he saying? You brood of vipers! Who told you to flee the judgment? You need to repent. You need to bear fruit of righteousness. You can't go around claiming, oh, we're children of Abraham, so we're set. Because God can raise up children of Abraham from these rocks that are here. And somehow this message resonated with the people. These people were anxious for the word for the Lord to come in their midst and work, and hearing that they were a brood of vipers didn't seem to upset them. It probably cut them to the heart, saying, yes, We do need to repent. We have been sinners. We need for God to change us. And their response to John was, well, then what should we do? What do we need to be doing? And he says, well, if you got two coats, give one to somebody that doesn't have one. You got more than enough food? Well, give it to somebody that doesn't have food. The tax collectors came. These people that were despised by the common folks because these tax collectors would overcharge, take the extra money and put it in their pockets, getting rich off the backs of the everyday person. They're coming to this message that John is delivering, and they said, what are we to do? And he says, don't charge more than what you're supposed to. Don't cheat people. Soldiers came. Soldiers who would abuse their authority, would use violence and extortion to take the things that they want. And they come in and they say, what should we do? And John says, learn to live within your means. Be satisfied with what you've got. Don't be extorting and going after the people. Notice, all of this centers around economics. Share your coat. Share your food. Be satisfied with what you make. Sounds real simple. But it sure is hard to do, isn't it? People say if you want to know whether God's got your heart or not, check your wallet. Scan over your checkbook. Jesus taught, whatever you put for your heart, but basically, you know, where your heart is where your treasure will be. Is your treasure money or is it God? So John is dealing with these economical issues as being signs of repentance, the fruit of repentance. But I think sometimes we're afraid to put those things into practice. Afraid we won't have enough. One of the reasons why I think we're afraid is we don't continue reading what John says. Because John says, there's another one coming after me. One who baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. This is the one that will come upon you and will change you. And so Advent is this time when we proclaim this message of the one who is coming. For us today, it's the one who came, who was born and placed in that manger. The one that is coming again with the second coming. But we're also proclaiming that this one is with us even today, filling us with the Holy Spirit, so that we might bear these fruits of repentance. Our other readings today talk about peace and joy. But they talk about them in the midst of fear and worry. It's easy to be afraid. And sometimes that fear can paralyze us. That fear and that worry. And worry, all worry is a form of fear. Worrying about things that might happen. We get paralyzed by these things and we don't do what we know we should do. We don't do the things that Jesus tells us to do, like love your neighbor. Or even harder, love your enemies. We don't, because of fear, we aren't compassionate toward others. Because we fear there may not be enough for us. We live in a world right now that's full of fear. Lots of things to be afraid of. Terrorists, immigrants, climate change. Who might be the next president? We're all worried about something. And then there are the more common worries that we have. Will I have enough? Do I have enough in my retirement to see me till I die? We worry about sickness and our health. We worry about dying, our children. Worry about things that we really often have so little control over. And our Old Testament passages say, or tell us, don't be afraid. Don't worry. Paul tells us, you know, rejoice always in all things. Don't worry, but go to God in prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, lifting up your requests to God. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Overcome that worry, that fear. We have to put our trust in God and go to God in prayer. Advent's a good time for us to stop and address our fears and our worries. In your bulletin, you have this little slip of paper. And it asks two questions. What would you do for God if you were not afraid? What would the Presbyterian Church of Easton do for God if we were not afraid? In a couple of minutes, I'm going to have us, after we sing the hymn following the message, we're going to take 2 or 3 minutes and fill this out. Prayerfully think, what would I do for God if I were not afraid? What would we as a church do for God if we were not afraid? And the idea is we need to evaluate what are our fears and our worries. How are they holding us back? It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to run out and do whatever you've written on this sheet, this slip of paper, because we do need to make sure we stop and we pray and we ask for God's discernment in these things. But perhaps what you do write down will be something that you will go and do. For the church part, our session will be going on a retreat next month. And what we're hoping to do is to establish some goals, some measurable goals of what this church can be doing in the next year or two. And what you put on here might help us in figuring that out. What would we do if we weren't afraid? So I'm going to ask you to fill it out. And when we take up the offering, I'd like for you to put it in the offering plate. You don't need to put your name on it. We're not interested in tracking you down and find out if you did it or not. But what would you do if you weren't afraid of failure? Afraid of what people think? Afraid of what of not having the resources you need to do something? Afraid of whatever might be holding you back. What would you do if you were afraid? Let's pray. Lord, we would ask that during this Advent season that we would turn away from our sins and prepare our hearts for the one who has come, who is coming again, but even now who lives in our midst. And we ask for wisdom on how we overcome our own fears so that we might serve you, that we might be generous and compassionate and loving and kind, and that we might have your peace and your joy that surpasses all understanding, but that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So give us wisdom to fill this out. And as a church, give us discernment to know what to be doing. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.